Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. While running a code, the thing we hope for is ROSC followed by recovery so the patient can return to a normal life. The actions that we take after identifying ROSC will have an impact on a patient's eventual outcome. That is today's tip topic. What are our initial concerns upon return of spontaneous circulation? Our primary focus immediately following ROSC is aimed at ensuring adequate perfusion of the body's vital organs. This is done by maintaining an O2 saturation between 92 and 98%, an end-tidal CO2 of 35 to 45 millimeters of mercury, and a blood pressure of at least 90 systolic or a mean arterial pressure of 65 or greater. Managing O2 and CO2 involves oxygen and ventilation rate adjustments. At all of the hospitals in the area where I live and work, respiratory responds to every code outside of the OR. If you're lucky to have them, ask them to maintain the parameters and leave the adjustments to them. They do this all the time and are the experts. Maintaining a blood pressure of at least 90 systolic or a mean arterial pressure of 65 or greater comes next. We could spend hours going over this, but put very simply for a 6-minute podcast episode, cardiac output is the product of the heart's ability to pump as formulated by the stroke volume and heart rate. If either the heart rate or the stroke volume increases, so should the patient's cardiac output. In addition to cardiac output, blood pressure is determined by blood volume and systemic vascular resistance. To alter the blood pressure, we can adjust the amount of fluid in the circulatory system or give medicines to alter the systemic vascular resistance by constricting or dilating blood vessels, or give medications to increase the patient's cardiac output. Something I like to remember when dealing with this is to start simple and treat the patient as a whole, not just a number. So, starting simply, if the patient's blood pressure is less than 90 and they remain comatose, ask yourself, what can be causing this? Then treat the suspected cause with something that isn't likely to do harm if you're wrong. As long as the patient doesn't have a reason, like kidney failure or CHF in their history, start with something simple like a 500 milliliter fluid bolus or whatever the volume at your organization uses. If the patient is bradycardic and not responding, consider giving 1 milligram of atropine to get the heart rate above 60. Remember that atropine increases the workload of the heart muscle, so use it with caution if you believe the patient is infarcting. If the heart rate is within normal limits or only slightly tachycardic, consider a beta adrenergic like dopamine or an EpiDrip. Like atropine, these medications increase the workload of the heart, so they should be started at a low dose and slowly titrated only to the point where a patient has a blood pressure of 90 systolic or to their maximum dose of 20 micrograms per kilogram per minute for dopamine or 10 micrograms per minute for an EpiDrip. Once the O2, CO2, and blood pressure are controlled, we should reassess the patient's level of consciousness to determine if targeted temperature management, or TTM, is indicated. If the patient can't follow simple commands, we should start TTM and cool the patient to 32 to 36 degrees centigrade for 24 hours. An intubated patient receiving vasopressors and being cooled can still have a CT, an MRI, and PCI performed if they're indicated. If the patient isn't going to imaging or cath lab, they should be placed in an ICU for close monitoring. That's all I have today on maintaining the patient after return of spontaneous circulation. If you find these tips helpful, be sure to subscribe or follow so you don't miss an episode, and consider leaving a 5-star review to help others discover the show. You can also connect with me on Twitter or LinkedIn via the links in the notes. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.